But I think we need to get into the Bible tonight as well. So if you have your Bibles, if you would, open up to Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter number 10. And once you've found it, if you would stand for the reading of God's Word, if you're able to. Mark chapter number 10. Trust the young people were a blessing to you tonight through their songs and through their testimonies. And thank you, young people. Appreciate that. Mark chapter number 10, verse number 13. I'll read out loud if you'd follow along there. It says this: "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and bless them." Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity to be here tonight at this wonderful church. Lord, we're thankful for the pastor allowing us to be here. God, we're thankful for the young people and their songs and their testimonies tonight. Lord, we just ask that you would meet with us these last few minutes as well. God, may we learn something from your word. Lord, may we be challenged tonight and we walk away from here changed. Lord, that you would just renew our spirit, God, and we ask all these things in your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Mark chapter number 10, verse 13 through 16 tonight gives me just a simple thought, and I want to share with you, and I think it'll be a blessing and hopefully a challenge to you as well. Mark chapter number 10, verse 13 through 16 is kind of a key text in working with children. It's a wonderful picture, a wonderful story here. The title of my message is simply this: Why Child Evangelism? Why Child Evangelism? Why have ministries for children? Why have junior church or master's clubs or Awana, whatever children's programs out there? Why junior church? Why bus routes? Why van routes? Why all of these things to minister to children? What's the point? Well, I'll give you three simple answers to that question tonight, and then we'll be done. The first answer, why child evangelism, is because God cares for children. God cares for children. There's a few things in the Bible we know for sure that God cares, and that's one of them is children. We see that children have a soft spot in God's heart. And we could go through the Bible, and we could see many times in the Bible where God has commanded us to teach our children, to train our children, to rear them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In fact, we could see many times in the Bible where God tells us to teach our children so that they could teach their children, so that their children could teach yet another generation. That's the plan that God had prescribed for rearing our children. And you see, God cares for children. We see many times, even in the Bible, where God used children. I think of Josiah. He was 8 years old when he became king. God used him in a mighty way. I think of Moses. He was a young child when he grew up in the house of Pharaoh by the grace of God, and he received all the training that he would need to lead those people out of Egypt some years later. You see, God uses children. God cares for children. Then we get to this passage here, Mark chapter number 10, and I love this because I think it really gives us the heartbeat of Jesus as it relates to children. You see, Jesus was teaching a multitude that day, maybe making up primarily of adults, ministering, doing miracles, whatever, and he was on the hillside that day teaching. And as he was teaching, preaching, and doing miracles, there were some folks that were bringing children to hear Jesus. And they were trying to push their children, maybe to get to the front to see Jesus. And as they were bringing their children in to see Jesus, the disciples caught wind of what was going on. The disciples, the Bible says here, Mark walks over, and the disciples rebuked those that brought them, that brought the children. And so they said, hey, get the children out of here. Don't you understand that this is Jesus? He's teaching. These children are going to be a distraction. Get them out of here. And as they're trying to push the children away, rebuking those that brought the children, the Bible says when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. Kind of caught the eye of Jesus there out of the corner of his eye, and he figured out what was going on. And he comes over to the disciples and he says, hey, suffer or allow the children to come unto me. Forbid them not. And so what the disciples thought they were doing right, Jesus said, hey, you don't got it right at all. He said, bring the children, allow the children to come unto me. And then he tells the disciples, by the way, unless you become like a child yourself, you yourself's not going to see the kingdom of God. Children are very important, Jesus was saying. And in fact, So much so that he completely stopped what he was doing as he preached to the multitudes that day. He walked over to those very children that were getting pushed to the side, and the Bible says he picked them up, put them in his arms, put his hands upon them, and he blessed them. What a wonderful picture of our Savior. You see, he understood the importance of the children. When the disciples were casting them to the side and pushing them away from Jesus, Jesus stopped what he was doing and he picked them up in his arms and he loved on them a little bit. You see, God cares for children. We see it in all through the Bible. Why children evangelism? Well, God cares for children. And secondly, because it's the largest missions field. You see, children are everywhere. We've traveled many, many miles. We've been in many different cities and states. And everywhere we've went, we've seen children. Everywhere you go, you see children. There's children here in your community. There's children in your county. There's children in your state. There's children everywhere you go. There was a study out by the Child Evangelism Fellowship. They said that 30% of the world's population is under the age of 15. Think about that. 30% of the world's population under the age of 15. And so as I studied that out, I realized there were 6.6 billion people on earth, which would mean there are 1.9 billion children under the age of 15. 1.9 billion. You see, you could take China, which is the most populous country in the planet, you could empty it out completely, refill it back up with the same amount of people, and you'd still have 700 million children left over. You see, it's the largest missions field. God cares for children. It's the largest missions field. And third of all, why children evangelism? Well, because it's the greatest missions field. Not only is it the largest, but I would say it's the greatest missions field. If you've ever worked with young people, you've ever worked in children's ministries, you would know, as I know, that it's the greatest mission field that you can possibly get involved with. It is a great thing to work with children. It's a blessing to work with children. You see, I think there's many reasons why it's a great ministry. One is because we see so many young people come to know Christ as their Savior. We could say it this way, the fields are ripe and ready for harvest. It really is the truth. But the laborers, as the Bible said, are few. The children are there, they're ready for Christ, they're ready to accept Him, they've just got to be told. But you see, we see so many young people come to know Christ as their Savior. Let me give you an example. There was an evangelist that was out, and he was curious about this very thing. And so he was in 33 different meetings in 10 different states, and he polled 10,000 people plus. And the simple question he asked them was, how old were you when you accepted Christ as your Savior? He took the answers and jotted them down and kept track of it. Here's what he found out. And the 10,000 people that he studied in churches all across America, he found out that 92% of them were saved before the age of 20. 92% of them before the age of 20. Let's do a little poll here tonight. How many of you in this room were saved before the age of 20? Raise your hand. Okay, keep it up, raise it, and keep it up. All right, now look around as you keep your hands up. A majority of the folks even here in this room, you can put your hands down, saved, accepted Christ as your Savior before the age of 20. What does that tell us? What do we get from that? Well, that tells me that it's very important that we focus on children's ministries, because statistics would prove that once a person is past the age of 20, there's a high likelihood that they're not going to accept Christ as their Savior. Why? Well, there's a myriad of reasons. Maybe because adults think they're independent. They think they know it all, as we do. And there's maybe many factors into it. But the fact is this, that I've preached this message many, many times in many, many different places, and the audience is always the same. The vast majority of folks in our churches were saved as a child. That's the fact. Now, here's how it relates to us. We have to understand that we have to reach this generation. We have to reach these young people, because when they grow older, statistically, they're not going to accept Christ as their Savior. Now, I understand God can come in and do anything in anybody's life. I understand that. But if we're just looking at pure numbers, there's a whole lot more likely chance that we see them come to know Christ as their Savior as a young child than it is as an adult. I mean, that ought to fire us up. That ought to get us passionate about reaching these young people for Christ in our community, here in your community, in my community. It's all the same. I think there's another reason why it's great to work with children, because they have a life ahead of them that's full of service for the Lord. You see, when we can reach them at these young ages, and those young ages back there, I met two girls in the back, ages 5 and 3. Man, when we can reach them at those ages, They have a whole life ahead of them that they can dedicate to God. A whole life of service that they can fully give to the Lord and to His service. Tonight, if we were to have an invitation time, and maybe you're here tonight, and there's someone that's, I don't know, let's say 40 years old. They've never accepted Christ as their Savior. You come down to the altar tonight, you get saved at 40 years old. Hey, that's a wonderful decision. The best decision that you'll ever make in your life. We'll rejoice with you in that. But let me just tell you, at age 40, you've lost 40 years to the devil. That's 40 years you can't serve the Lord with. You can't get time back. Now, you might have 40 more years you can dedicate, but if we can reach them when they're younger, they've got all those years ahead of them that they can serve the Lord. I was in a church a couple of days ago, maybe it's been a week or so ago. The pastor was saved in his mid-30s, and I preached this message, and he came up to me afterwards and said, "Brother Matt, I wish I would have got saved when I was a young person." He said, "I'd have had a whole lot less heartache in my life, a whole lot less things I would have had to go through if I'd have known Christ as my Savior as a young person." You see, that's the advantage of teaching and training our youth to know about a God that loves them and about salvation and teaching them in the ways of the Lord. Well, let me wrap this up because I know we're running late on time tonight. You might say, "Well, Brother Matt, how does this apply to me? I understand what you're saying. I know that God cares for children. I understand that it's a largest missions field, and I understand that it's a great missions field, but how does it apply to me?" you might be asking. And some of you might even be asking, hey, you might be thinking in your mind, well, that's easy for you to say and preach because you work with children all the time. You're in full-time missions work with children. I understand all that. But here, let me just tell you that tonight, in this audience, if you know Christ as your Savior, if you're a born-again believer, I believe that every born-again believer ought to be involved in children's ministries. Some form or fashion, every believer ought to be involved in children's ministries. Let me give you a few examples. Maybe you're here tonight, and you have your own children. You see, you have an obligation to teach your children about the Lord. It's an obligation. Let me tell you why it's an obligation. I have four children, and I understood a long time ago that those four children are not mine. They're not my wife's. Those four children are the Lord's. And God has lended them to me for a certain period of time, and in my care, God has commanded me that I teach them about Him, that I train them up in the ways of the Lord. They're not my children, so therefore I'm obligated to train them the way that the owner of them has told me. It's similar to parents, if you ever send your children off to a babysitter or have a babysitter come in. That's not the parent. You expect that babysitter to teach the children and to work with the children the same way that you would. It's not the babysitter's right to change the rules and to determine what's right and what's wrong. That's the parent's role. You see, God is the one that's given us those children, and He's given us very clear instructions on how to raise these children. And when we deviate from that, we've broken what God has expected of us. You see, those children aren't ours. Parents, you ought to raise your children in church. You ought to raise them, teaching them about the Lord. Can I just say this? Parents, you ought to have your children in church every time the doors are open. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, missions conferences, revival meetings, soul winning, whatever the case may be, you ought to raise your children in church. I grew up in a family where it wasn't a negotiation if we ever went to church. In fact, I don't remember one time in my entire life us ever having a discussion whether we were going to go to church. We were in church every time the doors were open. I'd joke around and say, man, there was even times when on a Saturday, maybe the janitor was coming to clean the church. And just because the doors were open, we were there just wondering, hey, doors are open, what's going on? I mean, we were in church all the time. But I'm thankful for it because my parents understood the value of raising their children in church, in the faith. Let me just tell you, that's the bare minimum, parents. That's the minimum that we ought to be doing. If you don't have your children in church every service, shame on you. That's the minimum. We ought to structure our homes completely around Christ. The things that we watch, the things that we wear, the things that we listen to, they ought to all have Christ in the center of them. We've gotten away from, in our country, family devotion time, family prayer time, family Bible reading time. Those are sometimes a thing of the past, but friends, let me tell you, those are what God expects of us. That's how we rear our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You see, if you're here tonight, you're a parent. Children evangelism applies to you because it starts with your own children. It starts in your own home. Fathers, let me just tell you, as I have to remind myself all the time, We're the spiritual leaders of our home. That's the way God set it up. And it's not our wife's obligation to make sure we're in church. It's not our wife's obligation to make sure we're having family altar time. Fathers, that's our obligation. We're the spiritual leaders of the home. You know what I found in ministry and in going to churches? I found that we lack godly fathers in our churches. We lack godly fathers in our churches. You see, it starts with our own family. And you might be here and say, well, I don't have children, or my children are grown. Well, let me tell you, you attend a good church. And I'm sure there's all kinds of children's ministries in this church. Let me just tell you, you ought to be involved in those. You ought to be involved in them in every way that you can. And again, I don't know, I've not talked specifically with the pastor, but in any way that your church ministers to children, I'm telling you, you ought to get involved in it. Unfortunately, in America, all too often, and maybe this church is the exception and not the rule, but the general rule in America is that pastors have to beg and plead and ask and get people to work in these ministries. They have to get up and say, we need nursery workers, or we need 4th through 6th grade boy Sunday school teachers, or we need van drivers, or we need bus captains, or whatever it may be. And he has to get up and ask, and ask again, and maybe run an ad in the bulletin. And then maybe he'll have to come to you individually and say, hey, I want you to think about this. I want you to pray about working in this ministry. Folks, that's not the way it ought to be. Pastor ought to have a big book in his office that he just labels volunteers. And it's a big old thick book because he's got so many people volunteering all the time to work with the children. We kind of smile at that because we know that's probably not the case in most churches. In fact, it's the opposite. Why is that? If we understand that children are close to the Lord's heart, we understand it's the largest missions field, we understand it's the greatest missions field, if we understand those things, then we have no problem volunteering and working as hard as we can to reach this next generation. You ought to be involved in your prayer life. Hey, you ought to pray for your pastor. You ought to pray for his family. You ought to pray for those that work with children. You ought to pray for your missionaries. I know that you support us. I know you support many other missionaries. I guarantee you they have an emphasis in reaching this next generation as well. You ought to pray for them. If your church has Faith Promise or however you do your missions here, let me just say, you ought to be involved in your missions giving as well. So you can send out missionaries across the whole globe so that they can reach the next generation for Christ. So truly, it doesn't matter who you are. If you're a born-again believer, you ought to be involved in reaching children somehow, some way. And I think in the examples I gave tonight, it applies to every single one of us in this room. Let me wrap it up with this, and just so that we can understand the importance of why. Why? You see, tonight as we speak, there's many men and women all across the globe that are spending hundreds of hours and millions of dollars to reach our young people. They're passionate about reaching this young generation. It's many different industries, the music industry, the clothing industry, the sports industry, and we could go on and on and on, but these men and women understand that they have to reach this young generation. If they want their product to continue, if they want their industry to continue, they've got to reach this generation, and they're very passionate about reaching this generation. They do very, very good work to reach their hearts. Here's the thing about young people. They'll be reached by somebody. They'll be reached by somebody. That's a fact. They're not going to sit in limbo and have no one reach them. They'll be reached by somebody. And here's the problem I have is that the world is out there and they're pouring out countless hours and passionate hours and millions of dollars to get in the fight to get these young people. But yet we too often as Christians sit back and do very little. We lack the passion that even the world has to reach our next generation. And folks, we're not reaching them for a clothing line. We're trying to reach them for the Lord. We're trying to reach them for eternal things, not just these temporal things that we can enjoy for a season. Why is it? Why is it that we lack the passion as Christians? We live in this country. I think it's the greatest country on earth. But let me tell you, we've got our problems, right? And we sit back oftentimes and we wonder, why is America the way it is? And oftentimes we blame Washington, or we blame the president, or we blame our state senators. Folks, that's not the reason. The reason America is the way it is because you and I have failed to reach our next generation for Christ. You see, in our very own Christian nation, we're raising a generation that doesn't have a clue about God. Not that they've forgotten God, they haven't even known God altogether. 2 or 3 generations ago, they forgot about God. The generations today don't even know God. And that's why America is the way it is. We took a 16-year-old girl and a 14-year-old boy into the home just less than 2 months ago. 16-year-old, 14-year-old, we brought them in on a Monday. And that Wednesday night, we went to our home church. And that was the first time in their life they'd ever been to church. This isn't Australia or Africa or Asia. This is the United States of America. Would you know that even some of the young people that are here tonight, when they first came into the home, I'm not telling you that they didn't have a Bible. I'm telling you that they didn't know what a Bible was. And again, this is our own country. You see, we're raising a generation that doesn't know God. And then we wonder why America is the way it is. The challenge tonight is simple. Are you involved in the fight for these young people? For the young people in your community here in Elizabeth City? I don't know how many children there are, but I bet there's a bundle of them. Are you in the fight to reach your community, this next generation, for Christ? Ask yourself, am I doing all that I can to reach this next generation? If you're not, then tonight I ask you, will you partner with those that are and get passionate about reaching this next generation for Christ? That's the only way that this country is ever going to change. That's the only way that we're going to continue to see souls saved, is if we can reach this next generation, rear them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord so that they can do the same thing with their children. Let's get back to the way God prescribed it, so that we teach our children, so that they can teach their children, so that they can teach their children, and so on. Are you doing everything you can to reach this next generation for Christ? Let me have every head bowed and every eye closed if I would tonight. If you